Are you all ready this morning? I know I put out the one call this week saying that the title of my sermon this morning would be Decisions, Decisions, Decisions. But in my time of prayer and meditation on Thursday, the Holy Spirit moved me to go into a different direction. And so this morning, the title of the sermon is Let's Start Right Now. What if this year, your New Year's resolutions were not just about personal goals, but about spiritual transformation? The beginning of a new year is a natural time for reflection and for commitment. Many of us are resolved to eat better, to exercise more, or to be more organized. And while those are good goals, what if we resolve to grow deeper in our faith, to love others more selflessly, and to serve God more fully? Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 25 says this: Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Amen? So the start of a new year reminds us of God's endless mercies. And every day is an opportunity to start fresh and pursue the calling that He has placed on each and every one of our lives. And God's Word makes it clear in James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Church, the gospel demands transformation. Amen? And as the body of Christ, we are not called to be merely inspired by the gospel, but to be transformed by it, to be sent out into the world as active participants in God's redemptive mission. And so this morning, let us take a closer look at seven areas of our walk in faith and what it means to truly live the gospel and how we can apply the truths we hear in church to our daily lives. And the first area we're going to examine is the role of the pastor, equipping for ministry. And as your pastor, my calling is to equip you for the work of ministry. And this is not just what happens on Sunday mornings. It's about preparing you to live your faith in your daily life, each and every day. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, Paul writes this: And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body in Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I want you to notice that the role of the pastor is not to do all the ministry in the church. Can I get an amen? Amen. But my job is to equip you, the congregation, to do the work of the ministry. My task is to provide spiritual nourishment, biblical teaching, and guidance that will help you grow in your faith and your understanding of God's will. But the real ministry, what happens when you take what you've learned and you put it into action? See, the church's mission is not limited to what happens within these walls on Sunday morning. It's about equipping you to go out into the world to serve. And every week, I stand before you, I preach the Word of God, and I am deeply humbled by your kind words that I hear afterward. Many of you approach me with praises for the message, and I am always grateful for your encouragement. But there is something more profound that I long to hear. I long to know how the Word of God has stirred your heart. How has the Word of God or the sermon challenged you? How has it encouraged you? And more importantly, how has it changed you? And what are you going to do differently because of how God has spoken to you through His Word? See, we can never settle for simply hearing the Word of God. We must live it out. Amen? Which brings us to the role of the believer. Be doers of the Word. James chapter 1, verse 22 challenges us, but be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see, it's far too easy to simply listen to a sermon, not in agreement, and feel like you fulfilled your spiritual duty. But James warns us that merely hearing the word without acting on it leads to self-deception. See, hearing is only the beginning. Living out the word is what truly matters. Being a doer of the word means applying what you hear into actions that reflect God's love, His grace, and His truth. And this requires intentionally and willingly stepping out in faith. As believers, we must commit to prayer-powered action. Because prayer is essential for aligning our hearts with God's will. So each day you should begin by asking God to show you opportunities to share His word. Pray for boldness, pray for wisdom, and pray for a heart of obedience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18 say, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." If you wanted to know God's will for your life, that's it. Simple. You have to set aside time to pray over specific ways you can live out Scripture in your relationships, your workplace, and in your community. Ask God for opportunities to serve and share His love with someone in need. Apply God's Word to your everyday situations. Because God's Word, it speaks to every area of life. Our relationships, finances, work, and more. So be intentional about applying biblical truths in your daily actions. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Our Lord's emphasis here is on faithful obedience. Amen? See, it's not merely enough to hear His word and call Him Lord. We must also obey what He commands us to do. If you read about forgiveness, reach out to somebody that you need to reconcile with. If the passage speaks about generosity, look for a way to give, whether it's your time, your money, or your encouragement. James chapter 1, verse 27 states the following: pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. This verse reminds us that pure religion involves caring for those in need and keeping ourselves clean and separate from the world. Living out the word means loving your neighbor through tangible acts of kindness and obeying God's commands. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 states, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." People notice how you live, and your actions can either draw them closer to God or push them away. Strive to be an example of Christ in all that you do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And if we truly want to be doers of God's word, then we need to surround ourselves with fellow believers who will encourage and challenge us to be doers of the word. Amen? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Share what you're learning from the scriptures with a friend or a small group. Ask somebody that you know and trust to pray for you and to check in on your progress. See, prayer is the foundation that sustains our obedience. Amen? Without prayer, we risk acting in our own strength instead of relying on God. So as we commit to being doers of the word, let prayer guide, strengthen, and encourage you along the way. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 states, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Pray for others. Lift up those around you in prayer, especially people God places on your heart to serve or to encourage. Pray for the church. Intercede for the church. Ask God to strengthen its leaders, unite its members, and guide it to be the light of the world. And too often we fall short on that one. It's easy to remember to pray for others, to pray for ourselves, but too often we forget to pray about the church. And how will the church ever change, grow, or be successful if we don't pray for it? Amen? Pray for revival. Church, we have revivals coming up in October of 2025. So we need today to start seeking God for a spiritual awakening. We need to ask Him to pour out His Spirit to transform our hearts and bring renewal to individuals, communities, and nations. Revival starts right here. Pray for transformation. Ask God to renew your mind and help you grow in areas where you struggle to act on His word. See, hearing the word is vital, but the transformative power of Scripture is only unlocked when we act on it. Start today by praying, obeying, and looking for practical ways to live out your faith. And as you do, you'll not only grow closer to God, but also you will shine His light into the world around you. The third area that we need to examine is the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we find Jesus' final command to His disciples. And church, we are all his disciples. Amen? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I love it when Jesus says amen. Don't you? Church, this command is not limited to pastors, missionaries, or church leaders. It is the responsibility of each and every believer. Every one of us has a sphere of influence that is unique to us. And I'll be honest with you, I cannot impact your sphere of influence the same way that you can. Whether that influence is at work, in school, within your neighborhood, or among your family, God has placed us in these spaces to be His representative, sharing the hope and truth of the gospel. Paul reiterates this calling in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. As ambassadors, we carry the message of reconciliation to those around us. And this is not a passive role. It requires prayer, it requires boldness, and it requires a heart aligned with God's mission. So how do we fulfill the Great Commission? Well, we have to go out into the world and be doers of the Word. Begin each day by praying, asking God to open doors for you to share your faith. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 4 encourages us. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul was in prison when he wrote these words. Church, we're not in prison. What's stopping us? See, prayer prepares our heart. It sharpens our spiritual awareness to recognize divine appointments in your daily interactions. Each day we have an opportunity to touch people with Jesus Christ. So we must look for ways to naturally talk about our faith. This doesn't always mean delivering a sermon. It can be as simple as sharing how God has worked in your life, offering encouragement rooted in the Scripture, or praying for somebody. How often do we miss the simple chance to pray for somebody in need? We're quick to say, yes, I'll pray for you. And then we go about our day and we forget. We need to get into the habit when somebody says, I have a need, I need prayer, stop right then and there, fall on your knees and intercede on behalf of that individual. Be an impact. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 tells us, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In a world without hope, we Christians have hope. Amen? And how dare we not share that with the world? Be ready to explain the hope you have in Christ with humility and respect. Your actions speak louder than your words. acts of kindness, forgiveness, and service reflect the character of Christ and open doors for gospel conversations. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The Great Commission is not just about introducing people to Christ. It's also about helping them grow in their faith. So today, resolve to become a disciple making disciple. Mentor and disciple someone in your life who needs spiritual guidance. This could be involve meeting regularly for prayer, Bible study, sharing wisdom from your own walk in Christ, or simply being a consistent source of encouragement. And Paul modeled this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We cannot be disciples and make disciples if we refuse to be discipled. And Jesus ends the Great Commission with a powerful promise: "I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Church, we are not alone in this mission. So we must trust that He will guide, equip, and sustain us as we step out in faith. Let us be people that not only hear the Great Commission, but live it out, impacting lives and advancing God's kingdom for His glory. Amen? Fourth area to examine is living with purpose. Be prepared to meet with God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 exhorts us, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another as so much more as you see the day approaching." What day is he talking about? The day of the Lord. Look at the signs of the time, and that day is growing ever closer. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that the church is a place where we actively inspire one another to live and work good things, especially as we anticipate Christ's return. And Psalm 122, verse 1, echoes the spirit of anticipation and joy. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" This verse reflects the heart posture we should have when approaching the gathering of believers: a readiness and eagerness to meet with God and His people. When we come to church, it should not be with a passive mindset, expecting to be entertained or simply fed by the pastor's message. Instead, we should come actively, with hearts prepared to encounter the living God. Because worship is a two-way interaction. We give God our adoration, and He pours into us His Word and His Spirit. Before Sunday morning worship arrives, we all need to take time to prepare spiritually. Whether it's Saturday night or Sunday morning, we should pray and ask God to open our hearts to His message. And David's prayer in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, is an excellent starting point. "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Ask God to remove distractions and create in your heart a heart that is ready for worship, a heart that is ready to receive His Word. And when you come to church, engage fully in the worship service. Sing wholeheartedly. Meditate on the lyrics. Focus on glorifying God rather than worrying about how you appear to others. Jesus reminds us in John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. True worship is not about outward performance, but connecting with God sincerely and deeply. As you listen to the sermon, approach it with an attitude of humility and teachability. Take notes, reflect on the message, and consider how you can apply it to your daily life. Church is not just about individual worship. It's about community. So we need to be intentional in building relationships with fellow believers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Join small groups, serve in ministry areas, or simply take time to connect with others after the service. These connections strengthen the body of Christ and inspire mutual growth. As we gather with the church, let us do so with intentionality and expectation. Psalm 84:10 reminds us the privilege we have in meeting with God's people. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. So let us come prepared each week, ready to worship, to be transformed by his word, and to stir one another up in love and good works, living with purpose as we await the return of our Lord. This brings us to the fifth area, the great commandment. Love God, love others. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus summarizes the law with these words. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." These words reveal the foundation of a believer's life: wholehearted love for God and genuine love for others. The first commandment calls us to love God with every part of our being, our heart, our soul, and our mind. This is not passive or half-hearted affection. It is an all-encompassing devotion. Loving God begins with knowledge of God. It involves spending time in his word, worshiping him, and prioritizing him above all other things in our lives. Psalm chapter 63, verse 1 captures this longing. "O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." Jesus linked love for God for love for others, showing that the two are inseparable. If we claim to love God but harbor resentment, neglect, or indifference toward others, we miss the heart of the gospel. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 challenges us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? True love, agape love, that mirrors God's love, is sacrificial. It is forgiving and it is patient. Amen? So reflect on your relationship with God. Are you loving him with your whole heart, soul, and mind? Are you spending time in prayer and scripture daily in order to deepen your connection with him? Psalm 37:4 encourages us, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Each day, identify a person to show intentional love to, whether it's through a kind word, a thoughtful gift, or an act of service. As Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Ask yourself how your love for God influences the way you interact with others. Are your words and actions reflective of God's love? Pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you in becoming more Christ-like in your relationships. As believers, our love for God and others is foundational to our faith. By loving God wholeheartedly and loving others selflessly, we reflect God's character to the world. And this is not a task that we can accomplish on our own, but through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23 remind us in these very familiar verses for most of us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Let us daily commit to living out the great commandment, allowing our God, a love for God to overflow into every relationship and interaction. And by doing so, we will fulfill the law of Christ and demonstrate that His transformative power is in our lives. Let us now examine the church, a living, breathing body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." See, the church is not merely a physical building or a weekly gathering. It is a living, breathing body comprised of individual believers, each uniquely gifted and designed by God. And together we form a whole, unified whole, connected by our shared faith in Christ and our commitment to His mission. Paul uses the metaphor of a body to illustrate the beauty of diversity within the church. Each member plays a distinct role, and in no part is insignificant. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 14 explains, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." So this unity does not mean uniformity. Instead, it highlights the importance of every believer contributing their God-given gifts and talents. When each member fulfills their role, the body functions effectively and God's work is accomplished. The church thrives when its members actively participate in its mission. See, we are not merely called to be spectators sitting on the sidelines. Each of us has been uniquely equipped to serve. Whether it's teaching, encouraging, giving, or showing mercy, all of our contributions matter. Amen? See, no role is too small, and every act of service advances God's kingdom. As members of the body, we are called to support and encourage one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 explains, "But speaking the truth in love, many may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." When we work together in love, the church becomes a powerful witness to the world. We demonstrate the transformative power of the gospel. The church is strongest when every member embraces their role, working together in unity and in love. By discovering your gifts, serving faithfully, and building relationships within the body, you become an active participant in God's redemptive work. As Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 to 24 exhorts us, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." So let us each take our place in the body, fully committed to His mission and purpose, and together we will reflect the heart of God to the world. And the seventh area to look is a commitment to action. Here I am, Lord, send me. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it records the prophet's response to God's call. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Isaiah's response was a profound example of total surrender and a willingness to act. He didn't hesitate, he didn't bargain, he didn't make excuses. Instead, he offers himself fully to God's service. And this kind of faith and obedience is the call for every believer. Isaiah's readiness to say yes to God stems from his encounter with God's holiness. But before we can commit to action, we must first experience the transforming grace of God. When we fully grasp His mercy and His forgiveness, our natural response will be one of gratitude and willingness to serve. God's question, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" is not directed solely at Isaiah. It is a question for each believer. Amen? So are we ready to respond with that same boldness and that same faith? See, service requires sacrifice. Service is not about convenience. Jesus echoed this call to action in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The work of the kingdom of God requires laborers who are willing to step out in faith. Whether it's serving in your local church, reaching out to your community, going to the nations, the need is great and the call is urgent. Answering God's call requires trust and obedience. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 encourages us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Amen? When we say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," we may not know all the details of where He will lead us, but we can trust that He will equip us for the task. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 assures us, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Isaiah's response, "Here I am, Lord, send me," is a declaration of trust and commitment that every believer can emulate. God is looking for willing hearts and obedient lives. When we respond to His call, we become instruments of His love and grace in a broken world. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So let us live with open hearts, willing spirits, ready to say yes to God's call. And together we can make an eternal impact for His kingdom. And finally, a call to be the church. The message I hope you take with you today is this. We are not called simply to admire the gospel. We are called to live it out. As a church, we are the body of Christ, and each of us has a role to play. We must stop being passive consumers of God's word and start being active participants in His mission. We are the hands and feet of Jesus in a world in need. As you leave today, ask yourself, how will you live out God's word this week? Will you apply the word of God to your life, not just in this room, but in your everyday actions? Our mission statement here at First Baptist Church is helping people find and follow Jesus. So my question to each of you this morning is this. What have you personally done to achieve our mission? Together, let us be a church that doesn't just hear the word, but lives it, reflecting the love and power of Christ to a watching world. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we are so blessed by what you pour into us through your word. Father, my prayer today is that we would all make a resolution. We would make a commitment to you to be active participants, not just watching the world go by, not just coming to church to check off a box completed for our week. Father, fill us with boldness and strength to accomplish your mission in this lost and dying world. Send us to be your hands and feet. Build us up as a church that shows your light into the community of Norfolk. Let us all stand firm and say, here I am. Send me.